Welcome to the Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast, a 15-minute excerpt of a 58-minute RISE public affairs program. I'm your host and producer, Kelia Ramaris. Today's podcast is called Promoting Homelessness. It's a portion of an April 2005 RISE interview with Linda Carson, an anti-eviction activist from Oakland, California. Adequate housing is an internationally recognized human right, explicitly mentioned in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the International Covenant on Social, Economic, and Cultural Rights, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, and other treaties and declarations. These documents say that governments have an obligation to ensure access to adequate housing, but the Bush pseudo-administration of the United States is drastically reducing federal funding for low-income housing programs, even as it periodically asks for and gets billions upon billions of dollars for war. There are three major types of federally funded low-income housing. Government-built public housing, the projects like the one I grew up in during the 50s and 60s, housing built by nonprofit developers, and Section 8, under which the government subsidizes the rents of low-income tenants seeking housing in the private rental market. In April of 2005, Linda Carson of Oakland, California, told Radio Internet Story Exchange how federal cuts to low-income housing programs are promoting homelessness and causing economic upheaval for tenants, landlords, and their surrounding communities. Carson herself is a Section 8 tenant, and she attributes her housing activism to a desire to keep that program honest. So it is with Section 8 that we began discussing the Bush assault on low-income housing. What is Section 8?
Section 8 is the program that was started by that well-known liberal, Dick Nixon. This was the Republicans' way of grabbing funding that was actually at one point going to public housing and shifting it into the hands of local landlords. And it was a program based on market rate housing. At that point, people could go out and use a Section 8 voucher, and landlords had no restrictions on what they were charging. As the years rolled on, the program was being exploited so much that eventually they started what is known as fair market rents. And in the Section 8 program, fair market rents, they're established city by city, county by county, all over the nation, including all the different territories. And depending on what your location is or your area, they institute what they determine to be is called fair market rents. And let's say here in the Marin County, San Francisco area, the fair market rents are actually higher than what the fair market rents here are in Berkeley and Oakland. The Section 8 program, at this point, it serves nearly 2 million people, and they're all low-income people. The federal rules require that 75% of all the housing vouchers go to people that are earning 30% or less of the area median income of whatever region that they're residing in. And that would be 75% of those are eligible for it. The other 25% is available to those that are actually earning higher than that. What they're trying to do is destroy the Section 8 program at the moment, and they're trying to get rid of the protections that exist at this point for the elderly and the poor and the disabled, and they want to change the federal rule, the one that exists at this point where 75% of the vouchers go to those earning 30% or less of the area median income. They want to dump all those people out of the program and bring in a whole new group of tenants that earn 60% or less of the area median income, and they want to give 90% of the vouchers to that crowd.
So in other words, they want a richer, quote-unquote richer, because it's not really rich, but they want tenants that are making higher income to have these vouchers.
What they are really doing, to be very clear about this, they are killing the program with a lot of funding cuts. But as they do it, they want to keep claiming that, no, we're not hurting the program, and we can prove it because we now are serving more people than we ever did. But those people are getting a lot less in funding or subsidies. So between the super huge tax cuts that have been occurring and still are, and we have $80 billion that just went to finance the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Again, there is not enough money coming into the Treasury, and so they're looting all the different programs that they can, even the successful ones, and they're grabbing the money to pay off the national debt.
Okay, so public housing in the sense of, let's say, government-built housing the way I grew up in the 60s.
Yes.
Wasn't Section 8 supposed to supplant that? Where is public housing now? Are they still building units?
No, we're looking at a huge decline in public housing. The mad dash to tear public housing down in America is what's going on right now. In the last 8 years, 125,000 units of public housing has been demolished. At this very moment, another 45,000 units are scheduled for demolition, and the plan is in the works to demolish another 100,000 units in the near future. So we're looking at the loss of our affordable housing and our low-income housing like never before. It's quite amazing to see such an attack that is going on at this moment. Much of the public housing that has been demolished, the demolitions are being funded under what they call the HOPE 6 program. The bright side of the latest budget cuts that are occurring is that the funding for the HOPE 6 program has been funded out, and they actually want to rescind around $100 million and grab it back that has been granted to the HOPE 6 program. But that there itself, the developers are screaming from here to hell about that one, and so are the housing authorities. The housing authorities love the HOPE 6 program.
Why?
Why? Because it's their way to get rid of all the poor in public housing, rebuild into mixed-use buildings or build condos on the same properties where public housing was. Even though it's owned by the government, it's being privatized and it's being operated by for-profit developers out there, and they're making a lot of money doing it.
Simple arithmetic here. If you have a building that is 100% poor people, and you tear it down for a mixed-use development that has 10 or 20% poor people, where do the other 80% go?
Quite often, these are the homeless people that you do see out there in all these different communities. Of all the people that were displaced, on average, across America, less than 12% of the displaced people actually get back into the rebuilt public housing.
This administration keeps wanting to talk about an ownership society. Now, I remember back under Bush 1, when Jack Kemp was Secretary of HUD, he talked about tenants in public housing being able to buy their apartments. Is that still kicking around?
That's still kicking around. They started what is known as one program known as the AmeriDream program. And the way that program works is that they are trying to have loans that are such a low interest rate loan that even poor people can't afford them. But in reality, the average person cannot afford to buy a home here in the Bay Area near San Francisco and Berkeley unless you're pulling in around $90,000 a year. It just ain't happening. There's not going to be enough funding, no matter what they say, to get poor people into buying homes. At the same time, they're also claiming that they're planning on ending chronic homelessness in 10 years. What a fallacy that is, because every aspect of the existing budget at this point, they are actually promoting homelessness.
Enter the nonprofit housing developer. What's happening there?
We are on the verge of a total disaster in the world of nonprofit housing in America. Let's put this together here in three different ways. We have public housing, and that was basically started from the Housing Act of 1937. Section 8 program added a whole lot more housing for low-income people at that point, and that was by going to the for-profit landlords. So we had, in addition to that then, through the years, there's been a number of other programs that were instituted. There was the Section 202, which is for the elderly, and that's nonprofit housing. We had rural developments that took place, and that program started right around 1962, and that's for nonprofits out in the rural areas compared to, let's say, all of the housing and programs in the urban areas. In Section 515, now that's your rural housing for your nonprofit housing organizations. Most of those contracts that took place and started since 1962, they're actually coming to an end. By 2010, we're looking and expecting that the majority of the housing in the Section 515 program is going to switch over to market rate rents. So since the program first began in 1962, there's been, the best we can figure out, around 290,000 units of nonprofit housing has been built as a direct result of that program. And all those people are earning less than 50% of the area median income. We're figuring that at a minimum, 90% of those will switch to market rates by 2010. So that's a huge loss right there. We're seeing something like we've never seen before, is basically the demise of the low-income housing programs across the United States of America.
Where's the outrage?
The outrage is definitely there. What I am observing, probably like you, is that people, though, are not out there raising hell until suddenly they're the ones facing the cuts. I don't know if people are too lazy, if they're too busy, if they're just too uninterested. They will not get out there and protest until suddenly they're facing a budget cut, whether it's their job or their education or whatever it may be. I don't know why it's like that. I really don't. I have spent so much time trying to organize people, and for the most part, I have found that when they're desperate, they're real easy to organize. But until they're truly desperate and they're about to be dumped on the streets or there's no more food left in the house, they're watching TV. Obviously, the solution is to tax the rich. All the multi-trillion dollar tax cuts that were given to the wealthiest 2% of America, they need to roll back all those tax cuts. Unless this is all just eventually becomes a social empire, to where the U.S. government would actually recognize under international law that everybody has the right to housing, and then to just do their part in making sure that the housing exists.
You've been listening to the Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast, Promoting Homelessness, featuring anti-eviction activist Linda Carson of Oakland, California. Carson has been monitoring and writing about the situation for public housing dwellers and other low-income tenants in New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. She has also been active in efforts to save the Berkeley, California Housing Authority from possible takeover by the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. Carson's email address is tenantsrule@yahoo.com. That's tenantsrule, one word, at yahoo.com. You can learn how to obtain the full 58-minute RISE program promoting homelessness by visiting the Radio Internet Story Exchange website, www.rise4news.net. That's www.rise4news.net. I'm the RISE host and producer, Kelia Ramirez. My email address is kelia@rise4news.net. That's kelia@rise4news.net. This is the Radio Internet Story Exchange podcast. Thanks for listening.